It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you. And as we all know, after so many months, Klal Yisrael is all getting together in America and Eretz Yisrael, and we're starting Parshas Devarim. Sefer Devarim is starting. And as we all know, it's a nidche. Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday. And what we're going to do, like we always do, we're going to ask a couple of questions from the Parsha, a couple of questions from different Chazals about Tisha B'Av, and then we're going to try to walk away with that major Yisod. And God willing, we're not going to have a Tisha B'Av. God willing, this Tisha B'Av is going to be a Yontif. But if it's not, if we're not, we're going to have to sit on the floor. We're going to try to figure out how we can make this Tisha B'Av a more meaningful Tisha B'Av, and how we could really make it related to our lives. The Ramban writes in his Akdama to Sefer Devarim. The Ramban, Nachmanides, is trying to figure out what is the purpose of Sefer Devarim. As we all know, it's called Mishneh Torah. It's the six-week speech of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was not able to go into Eretz Yisrael, but he's preparing all of Klal Yisrael to get ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban says that the whole purpose of this Sefer is to bring Yirei Shamayim to Klal Yisrael, is to give certain new mitzvos so they could be prepared for all their struggles in Eretz Yisrael, because it's not going to be so easy as their life was in the Midbar, and to show the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, all the things that he's done for them. And then the Ramban says that when was this nevuah given? The nevuah was given in year one of the Midbar. And the Radvaz says, what are you talking about, Ramban? What are you saying? Really, it was probably given in the 40th year, not in the first year. Very interesting background. What is the purpose of Sefer Devarim? We all know that the Rambam took different Gemaras and he codified different Gemaras, and that's why there's so much explanation of the Rambam. And the Rambam says something fascinating. The Rambam, quoting from a Gemara in Megillah, on Daf Lamed Aleph from Ibiz, and the Rambam is found in Perek Gimel Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, and he says something fascinating. He says, Ezra HaSofer came and showed that really we're going to read the whole Torah in 1 year. However, Chazal created that we're going to read certain parshas before certain different times. For example, we're going to read Bamidbar before Atzeres, before Shavuos. And the Rambam gives countless and countless examples of what we read before. However, when the Rambam's talking about Tisha B'Av, the Rambam says, so what do we read by Tisha B'Av? He doesn't say what do we read before Tisha B'Av. He says, what do we read after Tisha B'Av? And he says, what do we read after Tisha B'Av? Veschana. Next week's Parsha, Parsha's Veschana. And the first question that I like to ask is, what's Pshat? Focus that we're going to be reading Devarim. Why do you have to focus that we're going to be reading Veschana? Focus before. Why are you telling me after? What's the Rambam trying to tell me here? Question 2. We know right in the beginning of Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, Ela Devarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael Be'Ever HaYardin Bamidbar Barava. So these are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all of Klal Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon says, very interesting, that he says that the Nevuah from all the other Bereishis Shemos, Bamidbar, Bayikra and Bamidbar, are all right directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over, but it was directly from Hashem. Devarim was more of a nevuah coming from Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Vilna Gaon. And what does the pasuk say? Sof ben Paranu ben Tofa v'olam v'hasi Jewish history. And Rashi tells us from different Chazals, from different Gemaras, that it's talking about Jewish history. Ben Paranu ben Tofa. What's Ben Paran Ben Teufel? So Ben Paran, says Rashi, is the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chatzeros, what's Chatzeros? The Machlokas of Korech V'Adaso. The D is the Chet HaEga. Very fascinating, we spoke about this last year. We spoke about the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is quoting down from the Gemara. Amazing, he says that we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Both of them were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And we know that the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Daf Tes, and Tainis, that the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed for the first Beis Hamikdash was for the Gilia, for the three cardinal sins. Gilia Arayis, person being immoral, Shvichus Gomen, killing someone, and Avodah Zarah. And the second Beis Hamikdash was because of Sinas Chinam. We had that hatred. Rabbi Ephraim Lenchert, the Kli Yakar, which we spoke about last year, throws in a line, and he says that even the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of the sinus of the Nisim, of the princes of Klal Yisrael. So what's pshat with that? What's pshat with that? And furthermore, 2b is what happened by the sin of the Meraglim. We've spoken so much about it. What is going on? We know that we're still suffering, says the Gemara in Tainis. We still have a Bechil Adaros. We're still crying. And we're sitting on the floor. In a couple days, we're going to be sitting on the floor lamenting and saying, Hashem, where are you? Eicha. Hopefully we're not. Hopefully the Beis Hamikdash is going to come. But Eicha, where are you, the Ribbono Shalom? And where did it start from Chetah Meraglim? Why? What was that all about? What was that whole idea? Question 3. Interesting Gemara in Bechoros. Igbini in Bechoros. The Gemara came and said, oh, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, you're such a smart guy. You're such a smart guy, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. I have a question for you. The question's like this. If someone comes and shows you an egg, is it coming from a black chicken or is it coming from a white chicken? Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya turns to them and says, I have a question for you. If you see milk, is it coming from a white goat, or is it coming from a black goat? And they said, wow, you're a real chacham. What in the world is going on in that Gemara? What's the Gemara set? The Gemara seemingly doesn't really make so much sense. What does it do with eggs, and goats? What is going on? And furthermore, there's another fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that the Gemara is found in Bava Kamma, on Daf Nentes Amud Aleph, that Eliezer Ze'ira was in Avelus, Nentesa Menalot to Nentesa Mebeis, and they came over to him and they said, Nu, what are you doing? He said, I'm in Avelus for Yerushalayim. And they said, Nu, you're not such a chush of a guy. Why do you think you could be in Avelus? And he said, really? Ask me a question. So he said, you know what? You ask us a question, and we'll see if you're such a Talmud Chacham or Yerush Shemayim that you should be in Avelus. Strange Gemara. So he says, you know the question I want to ask? The question is if you have a tree, and you cut down a tree, how much do you have to pay? So he said, you don't have to pay anything. It's a tree. It didn't blossom yet. It's nothing. It's worthless. And he said, no, you got to pay. You got to pay for the date tree. And they said, oh, you're wrong. You went back, and they asked the Shiloh to the biggest Talmud Chacham, and he was right. What is this Gemara saying? So again, let's chazer over. We have a lot to do. We always have a lot to do. But again, question number one. Question one is, just let's review, is what was the Rambam talking about? Why do we say that we're talking about the Parshas, what Ezra did, and he says we read after Tisha B'Av, we read Vaschanan. Why not tell me before we read Devarim? Question two is, we see a lot of allusions in the Parsha about Ben Paran, Chetah Meraglim, about Chetah Egel. The Kli Yakar goes a very lengthy, beautiful, but the Kli Yakar led the essay, and the Kli Yakar throws in that even the first Beis Hamikdash represents the sin of Chinam. And furthermore, what was the sin of the Meraglim? What was it all about? And question three is, what's going on with these Gemaras? Gemara Bechorah says they asked a big Shiloh to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya about the eggs. Where is the egg coming from? Is it coming from a black chicken or a white chicken? And he answered back, what about the goats? And furthermore, that Gemara Bava Kamma. So what's going on? I heard a Gevaldik story. When I heard the story, I was really moved by this story. Very touching story. And the story is like this. There was a couple. Again, this is not a halachic story. But there was a couple, Meir and Chavi, and they were going to build a home together. And they were so excited. And they had all these dreams. And it's going to be amazing. They're going to mechanic their children, Yerei Shamayim, and it's going to be amazing. And they were ready to build their home. They're getting married. Everyone was so excited. Two special people. And they get married. And they're hoping for children. And a year goes by and they don't have children. And another year goes by and they don't have children. And after 12 years, they still can't have children. They don't know what to do. They go to all the gedolim. They get brachas. They speak. They're davening. People are davening for them. They don't know what to do. Baruch Hashem, and this happens. And finally, Chavi is pregnant. They're so excited. They're going to have a baby. It's going to be amazing. Life's going to be great. All they're waiting for is a baby. And Baruch Hashem, everything's going well. And they get to the ninth month. And Chavi says her water breaks. They have to rush to the hospital. And everything is so in anticipation. They're so excited. And then, while she's in labor, the doctor says, everyone out. Mayor out. Everyone out. So Mayor starts getting really nervous. And what's going to be? My wife, baby, what's going to be? And he brings Mayor back in an hour later. And he says, Mayor, I have really bad news for you. So Mayor's like, what's going to be? Is it the baby? Is it my wife? What's going to be? And the doctor says, only one's going to be able to make it. And again, it's not a halakhic story. But only one's going to be able to make it. And we have to figure out who's going to make it. Mayor's going back and forth. What kind of decision? Well, I have to make this decision. I've been waiting my whole life for a baby, but this is my wife and my life partner. So obviously in his mind, he's going to, obviously his wife, he's going to decide that she has to stay alive. But he said, I want to speak to my wife. He goes in, she's so weak. And he sees Chavi and says, Chavi, we're going to do this. We're going to make it. And she turns to Mayor and says, I know. But let me tell you, I want to give you that baby. And I want our offspring to just continue. Lo'ilam Boed, we're having the baby. He said, no, no. It's my life. We're having the baby. She passes away. And they named the baby. It was a baby boy, Binyamin. And Mayer is raising Binyamin, and it's hard as a single father raising him. People are helping the community. The grandparents are helping a lot. And Baruch Hashem, Binyamin is turning into a great boy. He wants to learn, a sweet boy. And it was his bar mitzvah. And Mayer was so excited because now he could publicize everyone what his wife did, the Messias Nefesh, literally, to have this baby. And Mayor is going to go through the history. And Mayor gets up at the bar mitzvah, and it's packed. Everyone's coming out to show how they support him. And Mayor is talking about it. And he's talking about the Messias Nefesh, his relationship with Chavi, and how they were Moser Nefesh, and Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, Binyamin's here. And now this is going to be the first time that Binyamin, as a bar mitzvah boy, is going to say Kaddish. The first time on his bar mitzvah, he's going to be able to say Kaddish for his mother. And the whole place is bawling and weeping. This is such an emotional event. The first time the son is going to say Kaddish. And he gets up. Binyamin gets up. And he's opening his mouth to say Kaddish, and all he says is, Yiskadal, Yiskadash. And then the father turns to him and says, Binyamin, this was your mother. You should probably put some emotions into it, put some feeling. And the father says, but I never met her. Comes along the Dumna Magid. The Magid says that this is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. This is a mashal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is represented by Meir, the father. And he has these dreams, the Shekhinah. He's going to have the Beis HaMikdash. And everything is amazing. And they're going to build Israel. And he's going to have his Makom HaShekhinah, the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is represented by his wife, Chavi. And then something goes awry. And now the question is it the Beis HaMikdash or is it his children? And it's going back and forth, back and forth. And then Hashem decides that it's going to be his children. And were his children, were his Binyamin. But then we say to the Father, to our Tata in heaven, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's hard. We never saw the Beis HaMikdash. We learn about the Beis HaMikdash a little. We understand it a little. But it's hard for us to feel that we're really missing the Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to feel it? We know what the Ribbono Shel Olam is Moser Nefesh. But how are we going to feel it? So here we are. We're getting to another Tisha B'Av. And it's hard. Whoever says it's not hard on a Tisha B'Av, it's hard. It's hard physically. We're drained. We have to sit on the floor. And it's hard even just finding your position on the floor. We all know. But it's hard. It's hard to feel the emotions. You know, how can Hashem tell me to feel something? You can't fake emotions. So it's hard. And how are we going to do it? I think we're going to try to build a yesod and then we're going to try to answer up all the kashas that we started. I think some possible ways that we could really make this Tisha B'Av a more meaningful Tisha B'Av is we have to, what we're missing, and it's hard because we don't fully understand. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was Shekhinah. Everything was clear. There were no doubts. The Ribbono Shel Olam was there. We were offering karbanis. We were offering sacrifices, showing how much we loved him. The Shekhinah was there and everyone knew it. The Yiri Shemayim, Tarsus tells us in Baba Basra and Daf Chof Aleph, that the Yiri Shemayim that was going on in the Beis HaMikdash, people would just come to the Makom HaMikdash just to get Yiri Shemayim. There's something special about the Shekhinah. And we have Marakayin and the Karbanis and Yom Kippur, and we don't fully understand it. So one way that we can understand is we just have to understand what the Beis HaMikdash was. How we had such clarity, but still that's hard. Because we never saw it. Another way is that the way the Torah was so clear, and although we're learning Torah, and there's so much Torah going on everywhere in America and Eretz Yisrael in different places, but still there was so much more depth going on with the Torah, because the Shekhinah was there. And that was the Makom HaMikdash. The Makom HaMikdash represented the Torah. And also, we have so many tragedies nowadays. There's hardships. The anti-Semitism is rising everywhere. It's not safe. People are shooting people everywhere. It's crazy. And we don't understand everything. We need to feel like we're missing something. I told my shir at NC's White Call this week that although it's really hard, and, you know, we could talk about Beis HaMikdash and what it meant, but it's hard. I said, but still, I think one way to really do it is the more we work on ourselves, what Hashem has given us here, therefore we could see the future. The Jewish people are people that don't just get stuck in the present. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from the past. We're not just people that say, past, let bygones be bygones. Yeah, a person has to learn from the past, learn from mistakes, and we're in the present, and we look to the future. But a person needs to see himself, and he needs to make cheshbon ha-nefesh with himself, and he needs to say, listen, I have so many opportunities. Hashem has given me religious autonomy. I'm able to practice my Judaism. I'm able to learn Torah at will. I'm able to daven. 70, 80 years ago, we weren't allowed to. We were killed if we even thought about it. 6 million people, we can't even understand that number. And our survivors are, there's not so many left. The way that we're going to really feel that we're missing the Beis HaMikdash is the more we work on ourselves, the more we improve ourselves, the more we really make Torah part of ourselves. That's what we could do now. And it's easier said than done. I spoke about how we have this emotional need. We have emotional connection to Hashem. But sometimes when we have an emotional connection to Hashem, we're doing it based on what we feel. And that's good and that's important, and we're emotional people. Some more than others. But the more a person acts, the more a person acts, not just feels, because when you feel something, you're not feeling it, and you don't want to do anything. But the more a person just does, oh, Rabbi, it's robotic. The more you do it, have the Gedolim feel, Big Talmid Chacham, feel the Beis HaMikdash more. Why? Because they learn the Torah more, they daven harder, they have more of a relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we all have the opportunity to do that, but we have to do it. As we know, the Sefer HaChinuch says, Achar Apulos Nimshach Chavavos. After my actions comes my heart. Not after my heart comes my actions. A person needs to make consistency, as we've spoken about last week. The idea that I could do it. Make learning part of my life. Not just this theoretical thing that I could do. That it's a nice thing. It's for everyone. Torah is for every yid. And Hashem loves us and He wants to hear our Torah. But we want to learn more. We have to want it more. We have to do it. Just get ourselves in a good zone. You'll feel so much better about yourself. The way to feel that we're missing that Beis HaMikdash is the more we improve on ourselves and the more we have that relationship with Hashem more, the more we'll realize that we're missing. And we're people that look to the future. We don't just get stuck in the present. We look to the future and we look to our growth. And we see what we can do. You know why the Rambam? Do you know why the Rambam writes about the Parsha after Tisha B'Av? Because the Rambam is saying that we're not focused in the present. We're not focusing, yeah, we have a Tisha B'Av and it's very hard. And we have a lot of tzaras, and we messed up, and we've done a lot of avirus. But we look to the future. We look what we can be, we look what we're doing now, and we should be proud of ourselves. But we're not, we have Eretz Yisrael, but we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Shechina yet. We don't have that Makom HaMikdash. And we're still sitting on the floor every year. So we're not there yet. We have to realize that we're getting there, we're in the beginning of it. But we have to realize that we could do it. That's what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam is saying, look. Look to the future. Look to Parshas Veschanon. Veschanon El Hashem. Davening to the Ribbono Shalom. That's Nakamu. Because we're looking not just to the present. We're looking to the future. What's Pshat with the Meraglim? Which we've spoken about so much before. Is that they didn't believe in themselves. They felt they couldn't do it. We need to believe in ourselves more. We need to show ourselves with our actions that we can do it. We can accomplish anything. But we need to change our actions. We need to do more, learn more. And although in the beginning it might be hard, change is hard for anyone. The more a person gives the Ribbono Shel Olam your time, Hashem will give you a reward back. The more a person says, I'm going to say Tehillim for 10 minutes. I'm going to learn an extra 5 minutes. I'm going to do something to get out of myself. And it's not just all about me, what I deserve. But I'm going to do something for Hashem. If a person says, I'm going to have kavana in my davening. Wow. And it's hard. It's not easy. Anyone that says it's easy, they're lying. It's hard. But growth is working through hardness. What was going on with the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says that really the first Beis HaMikdash also represented the idea. The Maharal says that the first Beis HaMikdash represented Gilui Raya, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, the three cardinal sins. And that represents going against Hashem. And the Sinas Chinam goes against him. That's what the Maharal says. So a person can say, wait, fine, we went against Hashem in the first Beis HaMikdash, but we still had a relationship with man. Comes the Kliyakar, and the Kliyakar says, no. We even broke the relationship with man. The Sinas Chinam. Wow. And the Meraglim represents the idea, as we spoke around Parsha Shlach, we spoke about the Selam Elokim, how every person has Selam Elokim, how Hashem has put every single situation, has given us, shown us things that He loves us, and we don't always understand it. But we can't deny the Selam Elokim of another person. We need to show everyone, we don't have to like everyone, but we always have to be nice. As my mother always says, quoting her father of Bamzer, be nice. That's what it's about. Be nice. Give everyone respect. Even if you don't like them, give everyone respect. What about these Gemaras? What are these Gemaras about? These eggs. So they came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and they said, Nu, what is this egg from? And he turned to them and said, a white goat and a black goat, which milk is it from? What's going on? Says the Givaldi Gemara Show. We know, which is true actually, I mean everything's true in the Torah, that an egg is a 21-day period, gestation period of the egg. 21 days. Which one is it? Is it the black egg or is it the white egg? Says the Marsha, is it the 21 days of hardship, of suffering, the 3 weeks, or is it the 21 days between Rosh Hashanah to Asher HaRabbah? And Rabbi Shua ben Chananya turns back to him and says, the milk of the goat. Where do we see a goat? Yom Kippur. Sir La Hashem and Sir La Zazel. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that even when they would take that goat and they throw it off the cliff, seemingly that broken goat, it was Sir La Zazel, but it was still a kapara for Klal Yisrael, Mishnah say. When Hashem took away the Beis HaMikdash from us, He was saying, listen, Klal Yisrael, sometimes I have to punish you, and you have to realize that you're making mistakes in your ways. You're not acting respectfully towards one another. You're having sinas chinam. You're doing the cardinal sins against me. I could either destroy you or I could destroy sticks and stones. And Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the sticks and the stones because I love you. I'm going to take away the Beis HaMikdash, my Makom HaShechina, as that Moshe of the Dubna Magid. I'm going to take away my Beis HaMikdash, the wife, a hard story. The wife represented the Beis HaMikdash in you, and I know it's hard. But I believe in you that you can do it. What's going on with that story in the Gemara Baba Kama? What was going on with Elazar Ziri? Elazar Ziri said, listen, what's the story with that tree? So if you cut down a tree that's not there, you could say there's nothing in that tree. Ziri said, you know I'm mourning? Because I might be mourning, but I see that tree and I see that it's worth value. That value is the future. I don't just look at the present, I look to the future. That story with Napoleon, which we all know. He came and he saw the Jewish people on the floor and he said, what are they mourning about? He said, a temple. He said, well, when did that temple happen? So many thousands of years. He said, if there's people like this, there's a God in this world. If we still care and we still realize that we have a relationship with Hashem, He's with us and Hashem loves us. We have that relationship that's never going to go because He's our Father in heaven and He wants us to do great stuff. So that's what we walk away when we're going towards a Tisha B'Av. It's a hard day. It's a day in Avelus. It's a day we have to sit on the floor. We can't eat. We can't drink. We have to focus on what we're missing. We have to focus on maybe we have to make ourselves better. Maybe we have to learn more. Maybe we have to be nicer to one another. Maybe we have to daven harder. But we look towards the future. Klal Yisrael are future-oriented people. And we want godless. The Meraglim messed up because they believed right in the present. They couldn't see the future. They just said, wow, this is too big for us. We can't accomplish it. As the Netziv says, they were afraid. We can't be afraid. We need to take things upon ourselves. This is the time. Small things. Not million things. That's not going to last. But small little things. Everyone knows themselves. And they know there are things that we have to work on. Sit with yourself. Small little things. Take upon yourself. An extra minute of davening. One bracha with kavanah. So many things. And a person could speak it with other people. Figure out within himself. Talk it over with your spouse. Try to figure out something small that you can implement into your life. So the way we're going to feel that this Tisha B'Av, we're going to feel it. Because we're going to realize that we're missing something. We're missing Shechina. We're missing the clarity of life. The anti-Semitism is just growing. And we see what could happen. So we need to daven harder. Sefer Devarim is the time where we look back and we say, where are we going to go for the future? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving this speech to prepare Klal Yisrael for the future. Let us work together. Let us daven. Let us realize that we could do it. Let's not give up. We're not people that give up. We never will. We're never ever going to give up. Tisha B'Av represents the idea of we take the Avelus and we look to the future. Bezer Hashem, everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. You should have a very meaningful fast, inspirational Tisha B'Av, and keep on working on ourselves. Realizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. He loves every single one of us, and He wants the best for us. And even if we suffer a little, and we don't understand why we suffer, and we're not fully ever going to understand why we suffer, we have to realize that He's doing it because He loves us, and we love Him. Let us be machazik ourselves in Torah, in mitzvahs, in gemilas chasadim. The world is created for these three things, Torah, avodah, gemilas chasadim. Let us just build ourselves and let us just keep on getting closer and closer to Hashem. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos.